Let's move on and talk about another case. And Justin, you had this 43-year-old lady. Can you talk about her?
Sure. So this is a 43-year-old lady. She is a nurse practitioner, actively working, and developed heart palpitations. She was worked up for that, and chest x-ray showed a possible anterior mediastinal mass. She had a CT scan, and the CT scan showed that she had a 2-centimeter anterior mediastinal mass and also one right paratracheal lymph node. She was seen by a thoracic surgeon at the time, and the thought process is, could this be a thymoma? And she was observed and brought back 6 months later for a repeat scan. And at that point, you know, when she initially presented, the heart palpitations were transient and went away. When she came back 6 months later, she was having more of a generalized pruritus at that point. And the anterior mediastinal mass had increased from 2 to 3.5 centimeters. The right paratracheal lymph node had grown, and she had a couple more mediastinal lymph nodes. She was evaluated by the surgeon at that time, and it was decided not to perform a biopsy, and actually she was taken to the operating room for a median sternotomy, thinking this may be a thymoma that he wanted to resect. But it turns out that the final pathology from the surgery was he was able to remove the entire mediastinal mass, and it was actually a 6.8 centimeter Hodgkin's lymphoma nodular sclerosing type. He also removed one of her paratracheal lymph nodes.
So, can I just ask, John, if you knew that was Hodgkin lymphoma based on the frozen section or whatever, would you have recommended removing it?
I mean, generally, it's never done, right? Like, so it's surgery in lymphoma is essentially for an emergency or to make the diagnosis, not for resection.
It's interesting in terms of what happened next.
Yeah, so she had this surgery done, and then she had a post-operative PET scan. She still had some residual mediastinal lymphadenopathy. She went on to be treated with 2 months of ABVD, and at that time she developed chest pain and thought she had some pericarditis, maybe from her prior surgery. Her CAT scan showed that she had a complete response. There was no evidence of residual lymphadenopathy. She went on to receive a 3rd month of ABVD, followed by involved field radiation therapy. And she's now under surveillance.
Just kind of curious, Craig, any comment about the pericarditis she had?
I think it was surgical, but I think I've seen this quite a bit. You know, resected Hodgkin lymphoma that come as a consult. You make believe that everything is still there. So your treatment was perfect. I mean, you chose to give her combined modality therapy. It's common that the patient is PET negative. Actually, the surgeon went in there to clean everything out and didn't clean everything out. So the PET negative scenario is actually very common. You just make believe everything is still in there. It's a post-surgical thing. These drugs don't cause pericarditis.
And John, just kind of curious about follow-up on a patient like this, what you would recommend, particularly in terms of breast cancer screening. Can you just, before he answers that question, Justin, talk about kind of some of the issues that this woman's had?
Yeah, she clinically has done well, and I've been just following her along. You know, she was 43 when she was diagnosed. You know, certainly with radiation therapy to the chest, she had a higher risk of breast cancer. We're not able to get breast MRIs paid for by insurance companies. She's been getting screening mammograms, and we actually were able to get an abbreviated breast MRI protocol that she was actually able to pay out of pocket for. So she's getting that every 6 months in addition to the mammograms. But the question is, you know, at her age in the 40s, at time of diagnosis and her chest radiation, does she require MRI screening ongoing, or is mammogram enough for her?
Yeah, so she wouldn't fit our criteria for high-risk screening. So again, she was old enough at the time of therapy that her risk is going to be a lot lower. And so we wouldn't advocate for aggressive screening with MRI.
Can you talk more about the age issue?
Yeah, so again, the more typical scenario is going to be someone who's getting their therapy and their radiation in their, you know, late 20s, as an example. And in that setting, that's the scenario that you'll want to put these people into a high-risk breast cancer screening program. And in our province, it's kind of automated. You make a referral, and then the breast cancer screening program takes over. And so that's a yearly mammogram with bilateral breast MRI longitudinally moving forward.
Is chemo prevention with, for example, tamoxifen ever considered in these patients?
I'm not sure that there's been a study to actually show that's been of benefit in this patient group, though certainly people have thought about it.
Craig, any other comments about following patients like this?
I think that certainly patients who are older than, some people would argue 35, I probably would say 40, but the risk at 40 is the same as the general population, pretty much so. You know, I think that the radiotherapists have done an extremely good job of long-term follow-up of secondary breast cancers in their data set. and help with writing all these guidelines. And I think the guidelines that John was saying is now a standard type of paradigm.